You are now listening to the Someone's Favorite Productions podcast network.
Coming at you live from No Host Studios. I'm in the cave. This is Erica with 1987 New World Rock. Going to be talking to you tonight, bringing you a flick that probably nobody's seen. Don't mix it up. There's another movie with the same name. Don't get confused. Google the right one. Tubi the right one. YouTube that booby, because you're going to want to pick this up. You're going to watch. You're going to listen. You're going to love. You don't have to take my word for it, because it's a Vidtober, baby. Vidtober. We dare New World Pictures over. You heard it here right. Music.
Everybody, welcome to New World Pictures Podcast. We're going to talk about every movie released by New World Pictures and New World Video. I'm Ryan. With me, as always, is Mark.
Here.
And Erica.
Also here. Present.
And we are nearing the end of Vidtober 2. Oof.
Yep. Damn it, Ryan.
Leaning in.
Come on. Yeah. Ryan.
Ryan, we took this to the board and they all voted unanimously against it.
Every single one. It was unanimous. It was a unanimous vote.
We are talking about the movies released by New World Video, but specifically the Canadian movies released by New World Pictures. And we are talking about a real doozy tonight. A movie I dare say maybe Canadians don't know a lot about, and that's 1987's Mr. Nice Guy.
I've seen it.
Now!
You gotta be nuts to move in on the mafia.
We've lost more than half of the business.
And marry the daughter of the Don.
Good choice.
I've been an assassin.
An assassin?
Meet Mr. Nice Guy.
Just take a number and sit down.
Now serving number 4.
Would anyone like a coffee?
Black. And meet the competition.
Black.
Black. Cream, no sugar.
Give me an excuse, kid.
He starts at the bottom.
Today it's bubblegum. Tomorrow it's...
Thanks. Let's see what you got there. Right.
Learns the tricks of the trade. Finds a good teacher.
Party.
Makes sure everyone he meets...
I
is a potential crook.
Finds the perfect woman.
How dare you get me into this!
And makes it to the top as a hitman.
Nice work,
you bastard.
Yo, Roosterhead!
In this business, the competition is murder.
We're with the mafia.
It's a dangerous comedy, Mr. Nice Guy.
Wow!
That's right, 1987's Mr. Nice Guy, brought to you by Titty Theft, the finest in fake boob shoplifting gear. If you want to steal from your local Reamers, you need Titty Theft. No one will see that your boobs are actually pouches for you to steal tons of stuff. Granted, stuff that will fit into these fake boobs. So, you know, gum, playing cards, or harmonica, a watch maybe? Did we say gum? Well, it will all fit, if it's small enough, into Titty Theft, your shoplifting necessity.
Oh, man. Did you guys catch the show where Titty Theft opened for a coma boner?
I did not.
It was so good.
I only wish it was reversed, that Coma Boner was the opener, but you know.
It was a regional only tour. They went, they played only small venues. It's very, very hard to see.
I'm so only glad that was this episode's sponsor, because that is, I know we're not at final questions, but that's everybody's favorite scene, right?
I mean, it's definitely up there. Top three.
Definitely up there. Sure. Yeah, for sure.
I LOL'd on that, as the kids will say. That did make me laugh out loud.
For sure.
For those of you who don't know what LOL means. Hitting the spoilers early. LOL. Laughed out loud.
It also might have been one of the few LOLs that we had, right?
Uh-oh.
Am I right?
There was a sprinkling of actual LOLs. Right? Let's talk about this in a second. First of all, this movie is directed by Henry Wolfond, who also co-wrote and produced this, and then nothing else. This is it. This is his output. And he co-wrote this movie with Mark Breslin, the co-founder of Yuck Yucks, a chain of comedy clubs in Canada.
They didn't call it Yuck Nucks.
Like Yuck Nucks? Like Canucks?
Yeah.
No, they did not. They went with Yuck Yucks. Right. And it was a chain. He was also a comedian. Breslin also appears in The Funny Farm, a movie released by New World Pictures.
I've seen it.
Also, not that Funny Farm that you're thinking about.
Not that Funny Farm. Just like this one
with Chevy Chase.
This is also not that Mr. Nice Guy, if you were like, oh, finally, this podcast is getting to Jackie Chan. Nope. Sorry. Wrong Mr. Nice Guy. That's 10 years later.
We wish.
But speaking of the Funny Farm, this stars Canadian comedian Mike McDonald, who appeared in the Funny Farm.
That he did.
Not that Michael McDonald.
Nope. Mike McDonald.
Mike McDonald.
Can't forget there are other McDonalds. That's my terrible Michael McDonald.
I thought it was great. I'd buy that album.
Oh, we might talk about this other Canadian Mike McDonald and other nearly New World movies. Recruits, the sequel to Night Patrol, and Loose Screws, aka Screwballs 2.
Holy shit, there's a sequel to Night Patrol?
Oh, yes.
Oh my gosh.
This also stars Jan Smithers of WKRP in Cincinnati fame. And apparently, at the time, she was looking to move to Nova Scotia from her native Los Angeles. So according to a November 1985 article of the Toronto Star, Smithers' work on WKRP drew the attention of Saturday Night Live, where she was offered a role on the show.
Whoa.
The article says. I started thinking, how could she get offered a role? Normally you have to, like, you know,
audition.
Even she says, I thought you had to be a comedian to be on that show. But this was, you got to think, around the year, at least like 1985 when they shoot this movie. That's actually the year of Robert Downey Jr., Anthony Michael Hall, Dennis Quaid. But the year before, that was also the Billy Crystal year, Christopher Guest, Julie Louis-Dreyfus, Harry Shearer, Martin Short. Because they were just adding stars. It's right in that area where they were just adding, you know, people with names.
Yeah. Yep. So, and she was like super cute and funny and yeah.
Mm-hmm, sure.
But when Nova Scotia calls, you have to answer.
Yeah, you know? That's right. She was looking to depart from America. But she does say this about her role in Mr. Nice Guy, which she says was anything but funny. She says, quote, I'm not funny in Mr. Nice Guy. I thought I was supposed to be, but the director said, no, we want you to play straight. Too bad. I've developed a character who's kooky.
Hmm.
Yeah,
not,
good for
not,
her.
Not. Didn't, where'd that character go?
Didn't make the final cut, I would have to say. Right. I don't know if she didn't say that. I'm saying that.
Oh, wow.
Now, I'm not saying that this movie...
So fast.
Nuts.
Screech! Let's go off this exit. Nope. Screech! We hated it. I'm like, guys.
No. I'm just saying that's just not her... Her character is not kooky in this movie. It just it does not appear to be kooky.
I mean, 1987's version of kooky, sure.
I don't know. I don't think she's kooky whatsoever. And we'll hear some clips that will back up.
I can't wait to go to bed angry about this later. Oh, man. Woo!
Like in the years of Pee Wee Herman, you're calling her role kooky?
Pee Wee's not kooky. Oh, boy. Oh, my blood is boiling. My blood is boiling. Pee Wee wasn't kooky. Oh my God.
But this movie also stars Joe Silver, who was mm-hmm. the voice of the creep
in Creep Show 2.
And this was a guy who had such incredible talent that he didn't really need to change his voice all that much to be the creep, but yet could be effective in both roles. For example, you tell me out of these two clips, which one is the creep and which one is Laserfish, okay?
That was, slicker.
Or?
42, that's my favorite number.
I mean, either one of those would have worked for either movie. This guy can transport himself into any character with hardly even an ounce of effort. I would love to have that much talent. Also, it's worth pointing out, there are some people who like a cigar. I'm one of them. And then there are some people you look at and say, that's a cigar smoker. And he is a cigar smoker.
For sure. Yeah, he's got a talented
voiceover artist who's great at impressions. Yeah, I mean, I agree.
And accents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and accents. Thank you. I agree. Yeah.
We really did get like the best of his career because we got Creepshow 2. We have this. He also was in Joe Silver. He was also, I believe, in Rabid. Mm-hmm. So
a little bit.
You know, we got a great slice of his career. We didn't realize a real sliver of Joe Silver's career here on the podcast. We didn't realize that this was going to be the Joe.
It's a Joe Silver podcast. When do we get hashtag Joe Silver as one of our, that's our new, that's,
I mean, that's a t-shirt, right? We got to make the Joe Silver t-shirt.
Yes.
I mean, This is dedicated to him. This is,
and it just says Joe Silver t-shirt.
We have spent too many years in this podcast not having a Creepshow 2 sound clip to play.
That's ridiculous. Thank you. It's been my number one for years.
No, I know, but I can't believe we haven't had a clip. I don't know. We did Creepshow 2 too early.
Me. I believe it. You guys are against me. Remember when you turned on Jan Smithers?
I didn't turn on her at all. She's great. She's just not a kooky character in this.
Oh my God. Remember when you turned on the definition of the 1987 definition of kooky?
Here's where you can watch Mr. Nice Guy if you are so inclined. It is on YouTube. It may even be on our YouTube. You'll have to check to make sure. Or you can get a copy of your very own copy of this movie on VHS that I'm holding in my hands right now.
Just hit up your local estate sales and yard sales for any house.
Hit up Rye Busters and
it's Rye Busters.
It's available.
Quick question. Because you have that in your hand, is it checked out or can I rent it?
It is available. It's in my hands. Okay. We are here at Rye Busters and it is available if you'd like to rent it.
Great.
Just quick question. What is it filed under? What genre?
Well, I'll go with what's on the box, which is comedy.
Okay.
That's what's on the box.
Okay.
That's what the box says.
Okay. All right. Okay. I'm going to believe you.
It comes preloaded with a genre. I guess.
Can't fight now, the box.
Speaking of that, let's talk about what this movie is about. Mark, what is Mr. Nice Guy about? And remember, this is not the Jackie Chan film.
Thank you, Ryan. Bit.
Damn it.
This movie's about the Rorschach test is a totally viable option for decorating your home or office.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
This requires watching this movie.
But it's real good if you watch this movie. You know what Mark's talking about.
Oh, yeah, for shit. Sure. That was funny. Yeah.
Erica, what is Mr. Nice Guy about?
Well, my bit was ruined because I was going to do a hilarious bit about how this is the Jackie Chan movie. So you can imagine it. It was pretty funny. You can just insert laughter here. Just Oh, Erica, you kooky girl. You did it again.
You are the definition, 1987 definition of kooky.
Lauren, did you get that one, Lauren? Lauren, you heard it here first.
Yeah, for me, what this movie is about is that old adage is true. Writing is rewriting.
Scream!
You cannot skip a step.
Oh boy.
You're gonna do it right.
Sure? Are you sure you filed that under comedy, or did you file it under judgment movies?
Oh man. It's
legal dramas. Legal dramas. Legal, you
know. We have a lot of different genres in Rye Busters. It's very broken up.
It's actually hard to find movies at Rye Busters. Right. It's hard.
This is under.
And guess what? No, none of the staff will help you.
Nope. None.
No.
They will just judge. They're just going to judge. Remember those employees at Tower Records? Just like them. They're going to be like,
yeah. Really? The employees at Rye Busters are going to leave you alone. So why don't you do the same courtesy to them?
They're going to leave you alone, but they're also going to watch you like a hawk.
Yeah. And judge.
Oh, for sure. And judge.
This is actually going to go into under mafia. Because as the Letterboxd synopsis is going to say.
Oh, Letterboxd.
Here we go. Letterboxd. We are on Letterboxd, so give us a follow there if you'd like. Letterboxd synopsis is this. A hitman by the name of Mr. Nice Guy is about to be married. I mean, eventually. Mm-hmm. I mean, that does happen, but it's way, way into the movie. And his fiance doesn't know his true profession. That's true, but again, way down the movie. On top of that, his future father-in-law has a contract out on him.
Again, way, way down in the movie.
Yeah, spoiler.
And he doesn't want to kill him, so that's not a contract. He wants to get him to not marry his daughter before the wedding. It happens right before the
wedding.
Still
way, way
down. Way down the movie. And then it ends with this comment, a zany mafia comedy.
Oh, it doesn't say kooky. Oh. Zany.
Zany.
Oh, boy. A second fight is a brewin. A zany fight.
It's at the end of Rye Busters because it's under zany mafia.
Zany's
comedy.
A genre. Zany's a genre? Holy shit.
Yeah. Zany.
Zany legal comedies. So
is Night Patrol under zany?
I mean, to be honest, a lot of New World's comedies can all be put under zany because
wow,
you can. The thing about New World comedies is that universally,
including movies starring Billy Zane.
Yeah, those are the zany movies.
I'm so mad/proud of myself for that.
Those are some of the zaniest movies.
But ironically, that's a different category. There's zany and then the zany. Like, zany movies and zany movies.
Yeah. Well, zany comes after Billy Zane section. I mean, just to be alphabetically correct.
Rye Busters is a stickler for cataloging and alphabetically
correct. It has to be a perfect alphabetical order. But yes, of course, there's a Billy Zane section because we do want to make money at this store.
Really quickly, because I'm old school and I look at IMDb and not necessarily Letterboxd, I was a little thrown by the fact that IMDb said that her name is Lisa, but they spelt it ILSE. Now, I've never seen a Lisa spelled L-I-S-E. So, like, for the sake of this episode, can we just refer to her as Lisa? Or is that too much to ask?
That is your beef.
Why don't you save this for the fucking Semanticast?
Yeah, Mark.
This is not...
Oh, I'm sorry. I got...
Don't
Again,
try
I
out
got confused.
Your Semanticast. Your Semanticast subject matters on this podcast.
I'm sorry.
We are going to talk about
wrong podcast.
I thought it was Thursday. Wrong podcast. No. Sorry, that's my bad.
Wrong.
That's
no.
my bad.
Wrong.
Got it.
But also for the Semanticast, maybe it's Lisa.
Lise. Well, I'll submit it to the team. They're sticklers, as you know, on semantics. So.
Man, this is I mean, granted, this is going to be 3 hours worth of content, no doubt. This very subject. Once you bring it to the board of co-hosts that you have on the Semantic Cast.
We're going
to
look at the last 200 years of the spelling of Lisa and Lice and Lise. And then we'll figure out where to go with this.
Oh, so my gosh.
Maybe we'll do a etymology follow-up this of the episode. Name.
It's going to be amazing.
We'll do a follow-up after we figure this out.
I don't know if we'll talk about this movie again, but let's figure it out.
You never know. We're still talking about Night Zoo, so you never know.
But one thing you can say about New World Comedy is that they are pretty zany, and that's going from like Eat and Run to something like The Prize Fighter in the Corman era. They're all like goofy. And so when we started watching this movie, there was an exchange early on in the movie that happens that I was like, oh, it's the very first scene. And I was like, maybe we're in for something pretty good. It's a flashback to the main character's experience at war.
They're everywhere. We don't got a chance.
You scared?
No, I'm going to take my family here next year on summer vacation, you idiot.
Yeah, well, I'm not afraid. I look death in the face and laugh.
Now, those are two solid bits.
I'd say semi-solid, like jello bits.
Jello
bits. They're a little wiggly.
Yeah. You don't want to build a house on top of these bits. But
no.
I mean,
no. But they're fun. And they're tasty.
And they're like, they seem to say, we're going to be a good time here. We're going to have a good time. Mm-hmm. What you can say about this movie, and where I will give it credit, is that it's got pace. It immediately, like, so as soon as we get past this scene, this thing at least goes. It goes. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe it goes in some places that doesn't always lead to laughter, but it goes. He immediately gets a job as a security guard at a...
If you're running and you're laughing, it's fun. But if you're running and you're pooping, is it still fun?
Well, and I would say it would be
exhausting to run and laugh. That would be too much, to be fair.
I would say to Ryan's point, though, it has pace. But some movies have like an 8-minute pace and some movies have a 15-minute pace. And this one does have, it errs on the side of the 15-minute pace.
Yeah, for sure.
So he does go to interview at this grocery store.
It's not even a grocery store. It's like a department store slash.
It's sort of like
here. It's like a Target or a Walmart.
Yeah. So he goes to interview with Mr. Reamer for this job. And in this very first scene, as he's sitting down, you can see the boom mic.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
And I thought,
I was going to ask if you guys saw it. Oh, it's very visible.
And I thought, okay, this boom operator definitely was pipped after this. Because one, the boom mic showed up. And two, the entire scene is ADR, which means he never plugged in the mic.
Oh, yeah. It's just there.
And like, this was the worst job a boom operator could ever do.
Yeah.
Just going to get... Whoops. Uh-oh. I think my mic might be a little too close. Oh, boy. It's a little... Uh-oh. What's happening? That's not where mics go. That is not where mics go. There we go. Oh, still too close.
Oh, boy. Really slammed that down. Slammed it down.
But at least you plugged yours in, and we don't have to do the ADR afterwards.
Right. So we go from the department store. He's a security guard. We go right to him being recruited to being an assassin. So security guard becoming an assassin. It made me think, was this written by a former security guard? I don't know, because like
maybe
one of my old roommates was a security guard, and I could imagine him kind of going like, "Yeah, I could be an assassin." Like he had a real like. Anyway, he gets the pitch here from Joe Silver, not Joel Silver, Joe Silver. This is a Joe Silver podcast.
The name is Fish. Laser Fish.
You call me Laz.
Laserfish the assassin?
Retired. Running an agency now. Would you like a job?
What, are you serious?
I don't kid about things like that. You know, kid, I was watching the inside. You're a natural.
You really think so?
I go tell him when I see it.
I don't know what to say.
Don't say a word here. Here's my card. You know, kid, you can go far. You'll make more with me in a week than you're making there in 10 years. Think it over. Give me a call.
All right, maybe I will. Thanks a lot.
You bet.
That was, slick.
So, like, this is a world where, like, hitmen, I guess, are semi-famous because he had heard of Laserfish.
But maybe he had spent a lot of time in his local library and had used Laserfish at the library to look up where the books were, or recent articles that were in the newspaper that had been published at the library, and thought that, oh, this was the guy that invented Laserfish at the library.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Wow.
Again, this feels like something for the Semanticast. I don't...
This feels more like a bit from the Dead Artifacts podcast that Mark explains things that we no longer use, old technologies that we no longer use anymore.
Excuse me, point counterpoint. Laserfish still exists. It is based in Long Beach near where I used to live, but now they're more into AI-driven document management. They secure business content and simplify compliance. And so I feel like this isn't dead technology. This is technology that has evolved.
They are trying to pivot with the times, but and God bless them for it. But yeah. Still, I don't think people know what you're talking about. I mean, I know what you're talking about, but a lot of people do not know what you're talking about.
I would disagree. I would say
what you're talking about.
I think those who do know what I'm talking about are asking themselves, why are we talking about this?
Which, I mean, look, if you've pressed play on this episode in general, you're like, I have free time. I just want, here's a movie I've never seen. And I'm probably never going to see. I'll be honest. I'm looking to you guys to tell me enough that I can just log it on Letterboxd and be like, yeah, I mean, I sort of saw it. I mostly saw it. I heard people talk about it, and then I just like saw it in my mind, and I feel like good enough, 2 stars.
How much does this one rent at Ride Busters?
It's very affordable. It's extremely affordable. That's all I can say.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Shit. Oh. What are the price ranges? Is it like per night or is it like a flat fee?
It's a flat fee. It's a flat fee that covers the shipping as I ship it to your house.
It's only $300 to rent it for 2 nights.
So now he quickly becomes a assassin because like a scene later, he's already been working for Laserfish for a long time. So he's getting money, he's already working gigs, he's becoming very good at killing people, mostly in nonviolent ways. In fact, a lot of times he's just like getting them killed by others. Rather, he never really kills anyone on his own. He's just good at like setting up crazy situations wherein people then get murdered by other people.
Mm-hmm. I know we're not final questions, but like, did you guys also want to see a kill?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
Especially the nephew. I felt like that's the one I wanted to see.
Yes. Yes.
Well, if we do get to see the nephew murder someone at the tail end of the movie.
Yeah. I'm just saying someone that was just a hit. I would have liked to have seen that.
And so you're talking about Larry, the nephew.
Correct.
Played by Keith Knight, who was a Canadian actor who got his start in 1979's Meatballs.
Great
yes,
name.
Yes, he did.
I might change my name to Keith Knight. No offense, Ryan. You call me Keith Knight now. I don't go by Eric anymore. It's Keith Knight.
It's Keith Knight. No, I get it. That makes a lot of sense.
But it's not two words. It's all one word. Keith Knight.
Yeah, Keith Knight. Keith Knight.
So while Kurt is in the throes of this new job, At night, trying to blow off some steam, he turns on the TV and sees an advertisement for a Dr. Rayon, who is a psychologist who has helped the craziest and kookiest people in town. And he's so enamored that he decides to set up an appointment. So he's going to go in and meet with her and hopefully ask her out on a date.
I just want to point out, I think what the writers wanted this doctor to be is a therapist and not a psychologist. So, but they're giving her the duties and, you know, the responsibilities of a therapist who would sit down and talk with you. But in any case, she gets won over because he talks one of her patients down from a very emotional place. And then she is quite charmed by him in a kooky way that only Jan Smithers could play in this clip.
That was really wonderful, Mr. Murdoch.
What?
You just saved that man's life.
Now what else could I do?
Boy, I really owe you an apology. I really read you wrong.
Does that mean I can make another appointment, Doctor?
Call me Lisa. Are you doing something later on?
What does that mean, Lisa?
Well, would you like to go out and have a cup of coffee or something to eat or a sandwich or something?
Are you asking me out to dinner?
Yep.
Sure.
Now, doesn't that seem like exciting, fun, young love? I mean, my gosh.
Just a point of clarity, though. He set up the guy to be on the roof, right? I think it was someone in the group that he had them
be. Man.
So he set this whole thing up, which could have been a sweet Lethal Weapon moment, but he just talks him off the roof. But and this starts a succession of times that he sets up, because now he's starting to date Lisa for a while.
Lisa.
She introduces the idea that she's dating this guy that she's really romantic with to her father, but her father doesn't like him.
Like Adele.
Adele.
Yeah, exactly.
But Lisa.
Yeah, you've got it.
Adele.
So Lisa brings him over for dinner. His mom and dad are not impressed. And Lisa's mom is played by Maxine Miller, who was in one episode of Friday the 13th, the series called...
Ooh.
It was called Cup of Time. Now, have you guys watched this episode?
No, not yet. Not yet.
Let me see if I can refresh your memory.
I didn't think we were at final questions yet, so I don't know. I don't think so.
Well, let me see if I can refresh your memory.
Canadian show, so
the description, according to old school IMDb, is an aged crony, their words, not mine, uses a cursed teacup to kill homeless people, stealing their age and taking it for herself. The trio learn of the deaths and set out to investigate with the help of a young homeless girl and an older social worker who is romantically interested in Jack. Does that ring any bells, that one?
I don't think so.
Does that
work, though? Does that work with a teacup? If I get one of those? You guys think
evidently,
that works? Or?
Evidently.
It would have to be from the first two seasons, because we still have Jack. Jack leaves in in season three.
That's a flex comment. I get what you're doing.
I'm not sure. My problem is I need to get my Laserfiche machine cooking so I can check some of my files.
Ryan, I don't think you understand what Laserfiche can and cannot do. I mean, Laserfiche is now leader in AI-driven.
That's right.
Laserfiche is the industry leader in AI-driven document management. So.
Are they our new sponsor? Is that why you keep bringing them up?
But I'm curious.
No, that'd be awesome.
Can we reach out to them?
If you're listening to this episode, you can
not
have this.
They're not.
And so much more. You're going to have this and so much more.
They're having bots listen to it.
Mm-hmm. If you want to sign up for a demo of Laserfish, you can go to laserfish.com. That's LaserFiche.com.
Are you sure it's not laser fish?
Damn it. Now you're going to ruin our chances. We were so close to an advertiser.
Shit, I'm sorry.
They were like, oh no, they messed around with our name.
Fuck them. Fuck them. Fuck the New World Pictures podcast. That's the episode quote.
Well, seems appropriate to go take a break. So we'll be right back after this.
Do you love movies? So do I. What's up, y'all? It's KB, and I love movies. Inviting you to listen to The Conversation, a film podcast where passion meets perspective and opinion. From the old school to the new, I invite a guest on to discuss the movies that thrill us, challenge us, break our hearts, or even blow our minds. There's always new episodes dropping wherever you get your podcasts. So join the conversation. We don't just watch movies. We love talking about them too. The Conversation with KB Loves Movies, a part of Someone's Favorite Productions Podcast Network.
It's time for Things We Loved and Things We Hated. It's Things We Loved and Things We Hated.
That's right. We're going to talk about the things we love and the things we hated about Mr. Nice Guy. Mark, what's something you loved?
I loved that Mr. Reamer was played by Harvey Atkin, who was in Visiting Hours, which was directed by Jean-Claude Lord,
yeah.
Who also directed Cover Girl.
Cover Girl, yeah.
That's something I loved.
Oh!
The 6 degrees of Jean-Claude Lord game that you just played.
Indeed. Guys,
only on this podcast with three Americans are you going to get this kind of spicy Canadian content.
Kooky, you know? Canadian content.
And the only one that's going to be selling a Joel Silver t-shirt.
Is it hashtag Joel Silver or just Joel Silver?
No, Joel Silver.
Just Joel Silver.
Joel Silver
Joel
t-shirt.
Silver t-shirt.
Erica, what is something you loved?
I love the music. It was super random, and I hope you have a clip.
The rumble I hear, it's the sound of your fear, like a thousand hearts breaking.
Breaking.
Grab hold of your life, it's as fast as a knife in the dark. The jungle's no place to relax. Watch your step or you're out of the action. But you can't hide. It's a mad, mad world outside. Where there ain't no right or wrong. So gonna get along, Mr. Nice Guy.
Yeah, I was gonna say the same thing. I also love the music because this movie has a theme song. The music is by Paul Hoffert is the music for this. So this VHS, which is available at Rybusters for you to rent, mentions that it has music by Lighthouse. Of course, Paul Hoffert was one of the founding members of Lighthouse, which is the Canadian equivalent of American bands like Chicago and Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
Wow.
And they won the Juno, the Canadian Grammy, for Best Canadian Group of the Year in 1972, 1973, and 1974.
Shit, they swept it.
And they were just in and out of being a band. In fact, I think around this time, they had reformed in the early 80s, broken up again. So I think this was Paul Hoffert bringing them back together to perform some songs for this soundtrack, including the Mr. Nice Guy theme. We don't have the history of Lighthouse, but I'm sure it was crazy to people that for this band to suddenly have songs in this movie.
Yeah.
Had to have been crazy for them because this was such a, you know, this was such a big band in Canada. And now here's a little bit of a hit from Lighthouse.
Mm-hmm.
morning, girl, I wake up, wipe the sleep from my eyes, go outside and feel the sunshine, then I know I'll realize.
Okay, all right.
So yeah, the Lighthouse, a band with a lot of horns and a lot of rock and Juno winner. But let's switch to things we hated. Mark, what is something you hated?
I hated that when Kurt is trying to win back Lisa, he brings all of his weapons from his assassination game job.
Sure.
And to the front of her office. She's on the second floor of an office building. And he is doing a little bit of a say anything moment where he's trying to talk, he yells to her at first. She comes to the window. And then he's just using his inside voice. And I felt, honestly, they missed a great joke to do the whole scene, then have her come downstairs and say, I couldn't hear a damn thing you said.
Yeah, I'm in an office building.
Yeah.
Like that could have been a really funny bit.
Because she was way up there. She was way up there.
Yeah, she's way up there. And he's not yelling. He's just being like, I will quit. I brought all this stuff and it was stupid for me to lie to you. It would be great if she came down and been like, what were you talking about? I couldn't hear you. And you just missed a great opportunity for what I think could have been a funny joke.
Yeah, well, they had just introduced enough of those real moments. Because, again, that's another moment where, for me, I was thinking, yeah, but, like, isn't this a moment where you're like, hey, your dad's part of the mafia, and you're cool with that. Maybe you could just let this one slide. I'm going to change my ways. I mean, you know. Yeah. But, again, writing is rewriting.
Yes. That's also the quote.
Erica, what did you hate?
I hated that it took me so long to figure this movie out. I spent a lot of time trying to figure it out instead of just watching it and enjoying it for what it was. So really, I think what I hate, Ryan, is myself.
Oh, wow. Wow. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. It was an eye-opening experience.
Wow.
I'm the worst.
Well,
how dare you laugh at that?
I hated the romance sections in the movie.
Yeah.
They just, it doesn't make any sense to the tone shifts. It's for it to suddenly shift into drama mode or romance mode. It felt like, hey, we're giving you a little bit of the, you know, like there's some love happening here and there's also laughs. And it was just like, I mean, you could have done that and actually still made jokes, as Mark was mentioning, and still done it in a funny way, they would have been like, oh, okay. And then it would have been fine. But instead, it's like the movie slows down so they can be like, no, these people are going to get together, though. And you're like, we don't have real buy-in on these characters. We don't know enough about them. Everything's been a silly bit here and there. So why suddenly make this serious? It doesn't make any sense.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Let's go to our favorite scenes. Mark, what was your favorite scene?
My favorite scene is your favorite scene, so I'm going to pass.
Okay, we'll get to it in a second. Erica, what was your favorite scene?
My favorite scene was brought to you by our sponsors, so maybe I need to also pass, too?
It's Laserfish?
My favorite scene was titty theft.
Oh, I see. Yes, gotcha.
That made me laugh so hard. That was when I LOL'd. I mentioned this at the beginning of the episode. It just, when he rips open her bra and you see boobs immediately, and I was like, whoa. And then when he reaches for it, I thought it was gonna be an old like hank hank kind of thing, and then when he pulled back handfuls of like just a fake boob and dumps it out, I was like, oh my goodness, that is hysterical. We're in for a treat. So that easily my favorite scene.
Yeah, well, my favorite scene, I'm just gonna play.
What kind of favor?
Well, my husband and I are from out of town, and this is really our second honeymoon. We've been married for 50 years.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
What can we do for you?
Well, we don't want to impose upon you, but we wondered if you would take a picture of us.
Well, I don't know too much about cameras.
Well, nothing about it. Just point it at us and snap it. That's about all.
Okay. Say cheese.
Cheese.
Oh, it's so nice to see a young couple like yourselves having such a nice time. I'm sure there's lots between you. Kind of reminds me of when we were young, eh, Edna?
You stinking pile of shit!
Edna!
Is this your idea of a joke?
Son, I don't know what's got into her. Edna, you're right. It's out of focus. You lousy ass.
And that was our last shot. Oh.
I hope she breaks your heart, you bastard.
Those two old folks just getting so mad at him. It was great. It was great.
So great.
All right. Let's go to final questions. Here are final questions for Mr. Nice Guy. Throw in your own if you guys have some. How long would you go to jail for stealing a half-eaten sandwich?
3 years.
Yeah,
so that's a, so prison. So you go to prison then.
You go to prison for that.
Oh, that's go to jail.
That's a felony.
Wow, I didn't know.
I was
know.
Like, oh, is it 6 months or is this a misdemeanor? Oh, no, this is okay, Mark. No. Okay, 3 years. Shit. All
just right, like well. when the office has donuts and those fucking bastards cut a donut in half and take it to their desk.
Yeah,
that should be a federal offense.
That's just a 3 year sentence right there. No
one's going to eat that second half. Come on, you're just wasting donut.
By cutting that donut in half, you have waived your right to a jury trial. You go straight to a 3 year sentence just in that act.
It's like military prison at that point.
I'm sorry that you have given up your right to a fair trial. That's the law, guys. Did you get right away, speaking of bits that they set up, did you guys get right away that Laser hands Kurt like a name badge that says the warden in order to get him out of jail?
I think we would have required a clearer version of the movie to get that one.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think we suffered a bit from it being a VHS tape.
But it's also not just the VHS tape, because when you see the close-up and he puts the sticker on it, it says the warden. They're trying to shoot it, but it's shot. Even the bars that they have on the door cover up part of the words. So even when they go close, you still kind of can't read it because the bars are in the way. Like, they didn't set up the shot right that you could see it correctly and clearly. Yeah.
Wow.
It took me a while and took me a lot of rewinding to go, what does this say? And I was like, okay. Anyway. That's unfortunately all the final questions I have.
Well, I got one for you. Oh, do you know how you turn documents into insights?
Well, how do you, Mark?
Well, whether you have invoices, contracts, handwritten forms, or scanned permits, Laserfiche's AI-powered platform quickly captures and processes your data so you can focus on what drives your business forward.
Finally, I can concentrate on that.
The more documents you have, the more complex your processes, the more value Laserfiche creates.
Oh, that is something. It's less a question than you telling me things, but...
Yeah, I have so many scanned permits, and I'm always like, now what? What's the next step? Well, shit. It's Laser Lisa Fiche.
Oh, God, if we don't get a sponsorship out of this, this was all for nothing.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Yeah,
and
all
you
right.
Can, that's a Keith Knight promise.
Let's go on
I
to
noticed
some quick...
you were calling me Erica for the different things. This will remind you I go by Keith Knight now.
That's true. Let's close on some quick research. This starts filming October 7th, 1985 in Toronto, Canada. I don't know how long they shoot, but they do have a wrap party at the end of November 1985. And where else? Yuck Yucks.
Yuck Yucks Comedy Club.
Of course. That's where they have the wrap party. It does open in the U.S. for, I can, maybe a weekend in September 1987. And that's through Shapiro Entertainment. It opens a month later in Canada in October. And then arrives on New World Video, which is how we're talking about it now, January 1988. This is some tough times for New World at this point in time, but they are hoping that by the end of 1988 that Hellbound Hellraiser 2 is going to save them. But here's what they had. Here's what they had coming out in January 1988 on VHS, besides Mr. Nice Guy, which is released for $69.95, 70 bucks. That's how you get yourself a Mr. Nice Guy.
Is that what you spent at Ridebusters?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
It's way more expensive at Ridebusters. From somebody's basement to our bedroom.
Yep. Here's what else they put out in January on January 26, 1988. Also, Birds of Prey. A detective hot on the trail of a calculating killer finds himself in the middle of crossfire when he closes in on the suspect. 70 bucks.
Oof. Who's in that one?
Also Canadian. Also, not that Birds of Prey.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
If you're like, oh, yay, Margot Robbie. Nope, wrong. Not that one. Jamaica Inn. A 1982 TV remake of the 1939 romantic costume drama, an inn on the windswept Cornish coast of England, is the gathering place of thieves, smugglers, and murderers. A beautiful orphan girl who comes to live there must trust an outlaw in order to live the shattering truth behind her father's death. Jane Seymour, Patrick McGowan, Trevor Eve, 80 bucks.
Okay, wow. You got, that's a Jane Seymour money.
That's Jane Seymour. It gets a $10 bump.
Yeah. Yep.
And Candyland, a jaded stripper involved in drugs and prostitution, is rejuvenated when she takes in a bored girl as her protege. Sandahl Bergman, part of her deal with New World Pictures after Hell Comes to Frogtown. I think she had like a 3-picture deal. What we got from it? Candyland. 80 bucks.
Mm. Wow. Wow.
80 bucks.
And that is it. That is Mr. Nice Guy.
Wow.
Boy, that Jackie Chan sure knows how to make you laugh. And
he's
also
charming. He's energetic. He's funny. He's got it all.
All his own stunts. It's so fascinating.
This isn't even top tier Jackie Chan, and yet we had such a good time. Mr. Mm-hmm. Nice Guy, a real Canadian treasure. Mr. Nice Guy, a real Canadian zany treasure that I'm sure everyone beholds, particularly the city of Toronto, which is greatly featured in the film. We hope you enjoyed this episode. We hope you enjoyed all of our Vidtober 2 Nie selections. Oh, I hate saying it. It's so bad. Anyway, we hope you enjoyed them all. If you want to catch up, haven't listened to our other episodes, things like The Dog Would Stop the War, Keeping Track, Playgirl Killer, you have to go to our website, newworldpicturespodcast.com. That's where we have all of our episodes. Our interviews, we have plenty of interviews, articles, t-shirts, buy a t-shirt. We've got a brand new shop on our website, lots of new designs, lower prices. Get a t-shirt. It does help the show. And you could also give us a 5-star review. Tell your friends. Spread the word. We'll see you next time on the New World Pictures Podcast, a part of Someone's Favorite Productions Podcast Network. Bye, everybody.
Thank you for listening. To hear more shows from the Someone's Favorite Productions podcast network, please select the link in the description